have now been started. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cross Community Working Group on Accountability and Enhancing ICANN's Accountability. This is our call number 10 on February 3rd. January has already gone away, so it's February 3rd. We're just a couple of days ahead from our Singapore meeting, and through the roll call, we'll have everyone who's in the Arabi Connect room as attending, and I don't know if we have anyone on the line on the phone bridge that hasn't joined the AC room. If there is anyone on the phone bridge that is not on the AC room, could you please state your name so we can add you to the roll call?
Hello, it's Alice Munyo, African Union Commission.
Now you know this music I put for you. So just a small reminder, as usual, to update your SOIs if you haven't done so. I know this is a reminder we do every call, but just I think there are some participants and members that haven't yet updated their SOI, so it would be great if you could just go to the wiki page and update your information. If you don't have an account to log into the wiki, you can contact Grace or anyone in the staff to have your account created and, of course, gain access to the wiki. So we have some very important points ahead of us in the agenda. So with no delay, I would like to turn it to Thomas to begin with the update from interactions with the CWG. So Thomas, could you please take it?
Sure. Thank you very much, Leon, and welcome, everybody. This is just a quick update to let you know that we had another of the weekly coordination calls with the chairs of the CWG last Friday. And during this coordination call, we discussed our feedback, which we've been working on during the Frankfurt session, to the CWG requests to our group with them. And you have seen our response to them on the list afterwards. So basically what happened is that we prepared a draft response based on the outcome of Frankfurt. We've reviewed the transcript for that matter, and we've sent that to our CWG liaison, Avery, to double-check. And it was discussed with Lisa and Jonathan afterwards, who basically made one point, which I think is quite interesting, because our group has also been discussing this quite a bit, and that relates to what accountability mechanisms that our group is working on will do with delegations or redelegations. And you will remember that in Frankfurt we took quite some time to ensure that we have a clear demarcation of what we are chartered with versus what the CWG is chartered with, and even more so we discussed the sensitivities of CCTLD operators that want to avoid that ICANN or the ICANN community in particular has a say over delegations or redelegations. So we've made that a little bit clearer in the response that you have seen on the list. So that's with respect to the coordination between us. So the response is with the CWG, and we expect their feedback on our communication now. Also, we've discussed a little bit how we could align our thinking in terms of timelines and the overall plans, and that's something that we'll get to later. And I think that's the update from the co-chairs level. I would like to see whether we have somebody in the on the call volunteering to give us an update, and we've leaned on Avery and Greg and Cheryl during the last call. So the only person of these three that I see in the Adobe at the moment is Cheryl. So Cheryl, can I ask you to maybe give a quick update on where the CWG is, and I hope that I don't put you on the spot too much with this request. And Cavus, I have I've seen your hand, and I'll get back to you once we've heard the full update. So I have some echo on the call. I'm not sure whether Cheryl or Avery, who's also on the call, would like to give a quick update. So I suggest that while waiting for them to get their audios connected, maybe it's just a technical issue, we go to you, Cavus. Cavus, it's your turn.
Yes, good time to everybody. Just inform you that on the basis of the CWG reply to ICG, the chair of the ICG now considering to modify the timeline, and she indicated some suggestion yet to be confirmed by ICG in Singapore, but informally the draft is a postponement of the transitions and extension of the contract, but it's totally informal. It is not formal, just for the colleagues. As soon as it becomes formal, you will receive that the situation. This is one point. The other point is I draw the attention of everybody to the statement made by Larry from NTIA with respect to the need that the accountability must be incorporated in the bylaw and article of incorporation before transition occurs. And that is something that in his statement, this is clearly mentioned, that I wanted just to inform you. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much, Cavus. And next is Avery.
Hi, this is Avery. Sorry about the lag in responding. I was sitting in the middle of another meeting here in Geneva. There's not that much to add on what the CWG in terms of the going through processes. I think that the last thing that they discussed is the administrative task, the administrative approval that gets done. That was one of the last things that was discussed. And basically putting together a report going into Singapore since the last time we've had a meeting and getting that explicit. So I don't think there's a whole lot of new progress to add. The legal work is, I guess, close to getting started. We got Greg last night told us that was moving along well in terms of getting that going. But other than that, I don't think there's a lot new to report.
Thank you very much, Avery. That's very helpful. And just as a placeholder, we will get back to the legal advice issue later during this call in agenda item number 5. But I can share with you that we're also discussing this with the CWG. And with respect to Cavus' point regarding the statements made by Larry Strickling, this is certainly something that we need to take to heart and incorporate in our thinking, but that's primarily something for consideration for the next or for the upcoming agenda item number 4, where we get the rapporteurs and certainly the thoughts that Larry has shared will have a bearing on the work of the two newly formed sub-teams. So unless there are further remarks from the group, I think I can now turn it over to Adam, who will give us some updates on the preparation for Singapore.
Hi, good morning. Good afternoon. Evening, everybody. It's Adam speaking. So the meetings we have arranged so far are on Sunday morning, and we're apologies for the short notice of this and the lack of discussion with the group, but it was really a matter of urgency that it was arranged, and that is talking about a meeting for the CCWG and the ICAM board, and that will be at 11 a.m. on Sunday, We're developing an agenda for that, and I think Thomas, Mathieu, or Leon, if you want to go back to that potential agenda later in the call. But that's a one-hour meeting with the board, and we hope we've been able to arrange as many board members as possible, including the key members who are, of course, the key member, of course, is Bruce, but we're also hoping that Chris Despain, Marcus, and others who were with us in Wolfgang, who were with us in Frankfurt, will also be able to join because their contributions have been particularly important. Moving along to Monday, we have our own meeting at, I'm forgetting the time, on the
Local time,
yeah. Sorry.
It's at 16:45.
Okay, thank you. So 16:45 is the working session of the CCWG, and that's a three-hour meeting, and it's being held as an ordinary agenda for us. So an ordinary working meeting, but going on for an extra hour. Moving along to Wednesday is it 11 o'clock?
Yeah.
9:45, there's an engagement session, which is our meeting with the community, and it would be very helpful if members could inform their, your sending organizations that this meeting will be happening. It's the meeting where we are, or you have the opportunity for discussing with the community members about the work that the CCWG has been doing, and primarily to receive comment, ideas, and just general information from the community about the progress that's being made. So that's an important meeting to please try and put on agendas for us to continue. The meeting after that, and again, Grace, if you can remind me of the time, which is on Thursday.
At 7 a.m.
At 7 a.m. is our follow-up working session, another three-hour meeting. And I should say that all of these have the usual full Adobe Connect, so there'll be the opportunity for anybody who's unable to be in Singapore to participate in the usual full way that we do for these calls. And so this is another three-hour meeting, and it's anticipated that some of the discussion items, and again, I think the co-chairs will want to come to this, the discussion items will be how do we respond to what we've heard in the engagement session from the previous day, and also responding to anything that the board and others have said, as well as trying to wrap up or make a continuation of the progress that's been made during the week. And, of course, there will be sessions in the afternoon, the ICANN Public Forum, where accountability will be discussed, and perhaps if there's an opportunity, then the group may wish to make some kind of statement during that public forum, but that really is up to you and the schedule that we have. So those are the meetings at the moment, and we'll post an updated a list of those with both Singapore local time and UTC time, either during this call or shortly after this call. Thank you.
Adam, this is Thomas. I'm not sure whether you've already circulated the email with the thoughts that we had for the in terms of an agenda for the CCWG and board meeting, but maybe you want to briefly bring up the points that we thought of and let the group add to it. Adam, can you still hear me?
Yeah, sorry about that. So yes, for the board meeting, there were three main items. First is a discussion about timelines, particularly around and leading up to ICANN 53 in Buenos Aires. So this would be a discussion with the board about how different issues are going to be accepted and what they're expected, or how we can coordinate different needs as we start to approach ICANN 53 Buenos Aires, where we're anticipating the board will be, we as a group will be submitting a proposal to them, and hopefully we'll be seeing resolutions coming out of the board at ICANN 53. So it's the timelines that lead up to that. A second issue is to think about how the board will be handling the CCWG's proposal, any anticipated reasons in particular why a particular recommendation or part of the proposal might be, for want of a better word, refused or rejected in some way, and the anticipated process that would be followed if any such refusal were made. So how would we handle that part of a proposal? And a third issue might be to for the CCWG to provide updates to the board on the two work avenues that are being developed, the outcomes of the face-to-face discussions in Frankfurt. So that would be the work streams that Jordan and Becky are working on, looking at mechanisms to enable community empowerment. And I think that's going to be of particular interest to the board as we're looking at empowerment over board decisions with those limited and strictly enumerated last resort powers for the community, and then the mechanisms to enhance and review the review and redress processes. So three issues leading up to Buenos Aires and how to handle that particular part of the process, clarify how the board will handle how the board will handle the CCWG's proposal, and then a presentation of the work that was particularly done in Frankfurt. I hope that's okay. Thanks.
Adam, it's Thomas again. That's great. And we will copy the mailing list on this email that will include these points, which we're going to send to Bruce, who, as you know, is our board liaison. But if there's any instantaneous feedback from the group in terms of items that we should add to this, that would be great. And we should also mention that we will also ask the board what their expectations for the session are and to ask us questions should they have any. So I leave it there and hand back over to you, Adam.
I'm sorry, Thomas, I missed that. I was just trying to take the notes that you asked me to do for the action item. Sorry, could you repeat that?
I wanted to give you the opportunity to continue if you had anything further to add. But if that weren't the case, then you could call upon Cavus and let him speak. But I would like to give you the opportunity first to finish if there's anything to add to this, to what you said earlier.
I'm sorry. The only thing is to say that the meeting with the CC, with the board on Sunday morning is not yet posted on the agenda. It will be. And the schedule of the meeting, it will be, and it will have details for remote access, as will all the other sessions. So you'll see all the Adobe Connect information coming through on the meeting schedule, as well as, of course, being sent out on the list in the usual fashion. All right, thanks. And apologies, so over to Cavus. Thank you.
Cavus, it's your turn.
Yes, just Thomas, in view of the very extensive discussion on the email relating to the authority of the board and so on and so forth, I, as a participant of the CCWG, wish to request Bruce to, at least on my part, convey the board that there is a lot of sensitivities of this term rejection of recommendations. They should reconsider, and I hope that you will prepare the group at least some preparatory discussions when you meet the board with respect to that rejection of recommendation, which is a very, very sensitive issue. Thank you.
Thanks, Cavus, and I suggest that we send a note to Bruce specifically to remind him of that point that has been made previously during earlier calls. Thank you for that note. And with that, I think we can move to the fourth agenda item, and that will be taken over by Mathieu.
Thank you, Thomas. I was just a couple of mentions on item three before we move to the updates from the other working parties. Our agenda had two sub-items. So first of all, I'd like to request if possible, the various rapporteurs of the work areas to join the co-chairs on stage during the engagement session so we don't feel so much alone in the large room. And you can also contribute to provide details to questions when appropriate and when they're directed to your specific work. So that would be for David, Samantha, Steve, Avery, and Eric for work area 4, and potentially Jordan and Becky for work parties 1 and 2. So I would, yes, as much as possible, I think it would be good if it wasn't just the three co-chairs on stage during this engagement session. So if you could confirm your presence off list, it would be much appreciated, and I think it would provide a better sense of how we as a group are making progress. Second item, which I think could be handled on the list, I would encourage anyone having a dedicated session within their constituency or support group to share that information on the list. So on our working session on Thursday, we can have a full recap of the feedbacks we got from the various parts of the community and make this in a session where we could try and recap the various messages we've had. So I would strongly encourage, and I will ask an action item for staff to ask on the list for and collect the number of sessions where we engage with the various parts of the community during this Singapore meeting. So those were the two items regarding preparing for Singapore. And so I can now move to item 4, which is meant to provide us with an update on the advancement of work on Work Party 1 and 2. So Work Party 1 is the community empowerment requirements, and Work Party 2 is the one related to review and redress. I have Jordan Carter is excused for this call. I don't know if we have Becky. No, I can't see Becky. But I have Steve's hand up. Please, Steve, if you have anything, go ahead.
Yes, Jordan, this is Steve Dallabianco with the CSG. Jordan Carter and I discussed this community empowerment group over the weekend and prepared a document that Jordan is nearly ready as rapporteur to release, but didn't get it out in time for today's call. We took a look at the mind map that all of us worked on in Frankfurt and said which elements of that mind map go to community empowerment versus Becky's work stream, work party, which is on review and redress. And that was an easy one because everything except the review and redress block goes to community empowerment. So we extracted all of those elements that are community empowerment. And then underneath each one, we reached back into that inventory we had and found mechanisms that had been suggested by the community and the members of the CCWG and just sort of draped those mechanisms against the requirements without implying which one was better or worse, just sort of put them all in there. We also indicated which of the requirements had been flagged for work stream one, priority one or priority two. The other thing we did was cataloged the four suggestions so far for a structure that would accommodate a community empowerment. One would be ad hoc engagement of the SOACs. That's the lightest weight structure. Another would be a permanent cross-community working group where you have to decide things like representation. The third is this notion of statutory members enshrined in the bylaws, something Jordan Carter's talked about, I've talked about, Keith Drazer. And the fourth was what the Roloff discussed in Frankfurt, this idea of a supervisory board. And so I've sort of walked you through what's in that document. I had really hoped maybe Jordan would circulate, but not quite ready yet. I think Jordan said that he'd have it ready between now and when we all arrive in Singapore. So there'll be an opportunity to discuss when we get into our face-to-face. That's all I had as an update on behalf of Work Party 1.
Thank you very much, Steve. I can add that Jordan sent a few lines of reports to share with the group and asked me to share it with you. And that's really as a compliment to what Steve presented. So the email list is set up. Jordan was mentioning exactly what you said, Steve, and I won't go back to that because you were part of it, so your reporting is much more accurate than I would do. So the intention from Jordan were to circulate the draft, and in a few hours, he's still hoping to do that by tomorrow, I guess, for him, because it's probably already tomorrow for Jordan in New Zealand. He would like to set up a call agenda for the working party and discuss the way they will be working, as well as a calendar of work. I think that was his intentions, and he was also inclined to learn from our call, and he will certainly look at the notes, whether the group has any other expectations from Work Party 1 in terms of timeline of activity in Singapore. And he certainly stresses that providing an end date for the required work on the work party would be extremely useful. And just to add to this last question, so far our the expected delivery date for our work parties would be at the end of March. Regarding either Steve's presentation or the short report I gave, I see Thomas has a question. This is the right time to make sure we are synchronized with the work that's now moving forward in Work Party 1. Thomas?
Yes, thank you, Mathieu. And this is just a question while reading the statements posted in the chat. And maybe Steve can answer this. Whether you've also planned to incorporate the bylaw solution that Robin mentioned, as well as the delegates option that has been mentioned, which has been alluded to by Alan and Keith in your document.
If I may reply, Robin, I've followed a lot of that in the last couple of accountability email lists. But I'll tell you what, if you were to send to Jordan and I a neatly encapsulated synopsis of what that mechanism would look like, a bylaws-only mechanism, I'm sure Jordan will add it to the document right away. So, Robin, if you don't mind sending that over as an email, it would be great. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. And I guess the idea is just to make sure that nothing gets lost. And if there's a rationale for Jordan and yourself having shortlisted that to the four suggestions, that would be good to know. Mathieu, back over to you.
Thanks, Thomas. Next is Cavus.
Yes, thank you very much, Mathieu. I have a suggestion to make for the two chairs of working parties to consider, and that is to take advantage of what you had before, the experience. I think it might be good that when they start discussing an email exchange, they take the lead, and everybody else should be recipient of the copy, because having exchange 100 email and then waiting for what would be the result. So I think it is up to the chair to kindly consider at what time he need to make a resume of the exchange of email and try to channelize or conduct a meeting in a way that we reach some sort of way forward. I'm not saying some conclusion. So we should not use the same method of working now, because I see in one case you have 90 or 89 emails, many people very nice and very constructively proposed, but we should have something from that. So that is a suggestion only to the chair to consider. And then I have some little concern there that we should not establish any deadline, maybe some provisional objectives, because we should not hurry up. There are many, many things. I have already started to send some contribution for the empowering the community and asking what is the community, how many communities that we have, and giving example of ICG, and but not having any arbitrary arrangement of community or anything. And I talked about footing. So question already been raised, so I don't think we need to hurry up the situation. We should do it very carefully. No problem to establish a provisional objective deadline, but that doesn't mean that we should end up anything by end of March. There is a very, very complex issue. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much, Kavus. Fully agree with the fact that we're mentioning timeline goals and objectives rather than deadlines at this stage, and so point well taken. And regarding the summary of discussions, this is something that we've started experimenting for advisors as well as a number of communities. And Adam, was the latest recap of discussion circulated, or is it about to be sent?
No, it's not, but it can be sent now if you want it to be, so I shall do that during the call.
Excellent. I think that we have a principle in place now to provide weekly updates of discussions on the mailing lists within our group to the advisors, and it's obviously open to be forwarded to anyone outside. Are there any other comments regarding the Work Party 1? I think we have some feedback for the group. I remember last week there was discussion whether we would have the opportunity for working parties to meet physically in Singapore before before the first CCWG session. Is that still, has there been any progress, or is that still on the agenda? I remember Robin proposing something like this. I think I'm seeing no comment. So what I would suggest is, if the working parties feel the need for something, please provide the requirements very soon. And of course,
hi.
This
is Becky. We are trying to identify a time that would work for people to meet during there, but we're just doing a doodle poll to find out if we can figure out a time that works for most people.
Okay. Thanks, Becky. Let us know. And while you're at it, Becky, can you give us a couple of insights about Work Party 2?
Yes, we have a great group of volunteers, and as I said, we are trying to organize the first call, whether it's a call or an in-person meeting and call in Singapore. So we'll be sending around a doodle poll to get that organized.
Okay. Regarding scope, deliverables, timelines, everything's clear on your side at this stage?
We just got the list of volunteers. Grace sent it around yesterday, and so we're picking off from there, and we'll be working very hard to meet all of those requirements.
Thanks, Becky. Are there any questions for Becky? So moving to the next item is the update on the stress test working party. And I know there's been, I've seen there's been progress with the new document provided. Who would provide an update? Would that be you, Cheryl?
Cheryl, if you can hear me, yes, I'd be happy to do a brief update. You will see and on the screen the actual copy from the current status of our wiki page at the moment, seeing all our marvellous volunteers. I'm not going to let Vicky get away with bragging about hers when we can brag about ours as well. Particular shout-out, of course, goes to Steve Del Bianco, who's penned what you will see below there in the following pages, which is the current state of play, taking us from the 25 that we had as contingencies pre-Frankfurt to through to what we now are operating with on the five classifications there of the stress tests. I believe you all have your own scroll ability, but just in case I'm somehow controlling it, I've now moved you all to page two, or moved me to page two, so I'd encourage you to do the same, where you'll see the five categories of stress tests, the first being the financial crisis or insolvency one, which merges the numbers as listed there, 5, 6, 7, 8 and 9 from the list of 25. Number two, failure to meet operational obligations, which is the merging of 1, 2, 11, 17 and 21. Three, legal and legislative action, which is the merging of 3, 4, 19 and 20. Four, failure of accountability, merging of a whole bunch of numbers, 10, 12, 13, 14, oh, no, blind woman can't read her own writing, 16, 18, 22, 23 and 24. And finally, the failure of accountability to external stakeholders, which is emerging of 14, 15 and 25. You've then got an excellent table which acts as a tracking document to show exactly where each of the previous to Frankfurt and during Frankfurt annotated 25 contingencies fit in and how they've been brought into those five categories. And then the particularly impressive state of play at the moment, despite the fact that we actually haven't had a teleconference as yet, which is the listing of enterprise-wide risks identified as of 27 January. In that listing, which I'd encourage you all to take time to go through, there's also been the allocation as to which of those categories, 1 to 5, these particular things have been assigned as belonging to, and there are some as yet to be covered or dealt with matters which are currently showing in red. That's our state of play. Our state of play, of course, also includes via the wiki the opportunity for anyone to make comments and contributions by using the comments section on the bottom of this wiki page. And, of course, any of the members are welcome to not only edit the page, but also to use our list. And just to remind you all, the number four list, the work party four list, has been repurposed now to function as the list for ST-WP stress test work party. And that's it briefly from me, other than to say we are also hopeful that those of us who are in Singapore may be able to gather at least informally at some point in time during the Singapore meeting, and we were hoping probably to try and do that as early as possible in the week before things officially start. We haven't doodled. We're just waiting to see who responds from email. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. I mean, great progress and good to have this kind of document as a recap of the way we're progressing. I see that Steve has his hand raised. Please, Steve.
Thank you. Hey, thank you, Cheryl, for walking through that. Cheryl brought up this list from the board of their the board's risk committee. Now, if you recall, we discussed this on last week's phone call, because there are a whole lot of items that the board identified, and as Cheryl indicated, nearly all of them, it turns out, are reflected in the categories and details of stress tests that we have above us. There are a few that were not, and in particular, I pointed up a few that we discussed last Tuesday were probably outside of ICANN's scope, this notion of a perceived failure to implement and achieve a global multi-stakeholder distributed internet governance ecosystem to meet the widely accepted Net Mundial principles. Cheryl indicated that was not applicable since this is not within ICANN's scope. So that might be a topic of discussion that we have with Bruce and perhaps with board risk committee members when we all convene in Singapore. And it might be easy to pull that one off and to leave us with the rest of them to consider. And I did want to mention at the very end of this, I know that the chairs in our last set of tasks after the last call said that they'd like to run through a stress testing exercise. Not all of them, of course, but a couple of examples where you take a stress test and you run it against the accountability mechanisms that we've developed so far. Now, that's hard to do because we don't really have a concrete set of accountability mechanisms to go on. So if the chairs want, I could run through three simple examples of what you have in front of you and suggest how one runs the stress test against mechanisms. If there's no interest in that, we'll do it when we get together in Singapore. Thank you.
Thanks for the proposition, Steve. Maybe just before we get into that, I will certainly take up your suggestion. Last time when we had the call, we mentioned two or three short questions to be to provide more substance about the various contingencies and how whether there were existing mechanisms already addressing them, and so on. I think there was two or three questions. Is that still something that the group intends to work on? Either Cheryl or Steve?
Cheryl, Steve, I'd take a crack at that if you wish.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the proper way to think of this is you take your stress tests. For example, Category 5, failure of accountability to external stakeholders. And then you run that stress test against the body of mechanisms that we have in place because ICANN already had them or that we have proposed for either Workstream 1 or 2. And you do that to evaluate whether the accountability mechanisms either prevent the consequence of the stress test or they mitigate and react in a way that the community thinks is satisfactory. So one example would be Category 5, Item 14. Category 5, Item 14, which is that ICANN or U.S. government chose to terminate the affirmation of commitments. And that is one where we would say that, the Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability has recommended bringing the affirmation of commitments into the bylaws as a Workstream 1 mechanism. That will have prevented the consequence of that stress test. So you check that box. So that's an example where you took an existing accountability mechanism, but you moved it to the bylaws so that it couldn't be abrogated and walked away from it. There are many other stress tests in this list, and some of them have answers that go straight to the review and redress, the ability to overturn the board. And others, there's no easy answer at all. A number of these stress tests on insolvency or the failure of the community to support the cross-community working group model, those are much more difficult to answer. And I want to suggest that for some of these stress tests, it'll be easy for us to say, hey, we've got that. We've got it covered. And for others, we aren't going to have an answer. In other words, we'll have to suggest that we're going to have to live with that risk because it existed before the transition and it'll exist after the transition. Mainly I'm talking about financial crisis or insolvency. So it might be more important for us to turn to the CWG and ask, hey, what if ICANN were to succumb to stress test number one, a financial crisis or insolvency? What does the CWG say about the maintenance of numbers, protocols, and root server maintenance. And if the CWG says, hey, no problem, we've got structures and separability, we'll be able to take that over. Well, then it falls to us to say, well, who's going to take over the policy making and contract enforcement role that's currently fulfilled by ICANN if ICANN were to go into a financial crisis, lose its employees, or go insolvent? So we've got quite a bit of work to do to answer the stress tests, and not all of them really lend themselves well to starting with, oh, what are the current mechanisms, and then what are the proposed? I think that's looking at it backwards. I think we ought to start with a stress test and then ask how either the existing or the proposed mechanisms would respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. So you're slightly changing the approach, but the goal is still the same.
Agreed. Yes, that's the case.
And I'd like to check with the group whether everyone's in line with this. Thomas, you have your hand raised.
Yes, and I very much sympathize with the methodology that you've just outlined, Steve and Cheryl. So thank you for that. It's much appreciated. I guess my inclination is to ask you to still, even if it's in table format, go through the questions that we've discussed in Frankfurt for the one reason that I think it's easier to structure our report if we follow those questions. Maybe I haven't correctly understood, but it's my impression that you're going to test against existing or proposed mechanisms. And I think for our report, it would be good to have an overview that we can work from, i.e. this table, answering the questions, where we can say, okay, this is a contingency that's already being addressed by existing accountability mechanisms. So this is already there, and therefore no decision by the community needs to be made, and the community doesn't have to comment on those, right? So that would just leave us with the areas where existing mechanisms do not or do not adequately address a contingency, and then you would basically go through what you've suggested. But I think that we need to get some clarity on what we have, on what we need to invent, and what we need to modify for the community to have an easier approach in digesting digesting the recommendations that we come up with. Not sure this makes sense, but I just wanted to throw it out to you.
Cheryl here, Mathieu, if I can respond to Thomas. Look, I'm a great fan of tables and a tabular way of doing things, and it's not a bad way to visualize what I think you're describing as a gap analysis, Thomas. As Steve said, we're yet to go through that exercise in detail. I certainly have scribbled on the back, not quite of an envelope, but on the back of the contents of an envelope as to how this might look visually. But the work party has not had this discussion in full. Are we going to deal with the questions raised from Frankfurt? Yes, I think that's very much in line with what Steve just described, how we're actually going to capture that so it can neatly plug and be read out the final report will be as concise and as clear as we possibly can make it. But that's the work that goes ahead to it. So there's a very long ahead of us. That's a long way of saying yes to you, Thomas, and indeed saying that I think this going through a couple of key examples, as Steve has offered to, is a good way to help everyone understand how this process is envisaged. But I see Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, thank you, Cheryl. Thomas, I don't want to be quite as accommodating and gentle as Cheryl on that, but I don't think what you're suggesting will work. These stress tests are extremely challenging for either the existing or future ICANN to be able to deal with. And if I take any of these stress tests and run them up against today's ICANN, you're going to discover that, yes, there are accountability mechanisms that exist today, like the Independent Review Panel, Reconsideration, and Ombudsman. But look, I don't know anyone on this call that believes that those mechanisms have been sufficient to overturn decisions of the board or management which were in conflict with the community's consensus. So I don't think that exercise gets us anywhere. And it ends up being a contest where we say that we don't trust the ombudsman, we don't think the IRP is binding, there's not a sitting panel, reconsideration requests only look at matters of process, not substance. That's not going to get us anywhere. it's far better to take a stress test, and as you evaluate the ability of the organization to either prevent or mitigate, you need to consider existing mechanisms pre-transition as well as proposed mechanisms. Now, I'll concede, Thomas, there may be a few items in this list where existing mechanisms pre-transition are enough to say that's covered, but it's going to be few and far between. Because the stress tests are designed to be really challenging to the future ICANN. It's designed for the next 10 or 20 years. It's not designed, strictly speaking, to see how the stresses of the last few years will have worn on us. So, you know, we can discuss this further in Singapore. I don't want to belabor this too much, but there isn't really a simple tabular way of checking a bunch of these 25 boxes. Thank you.
Steve, before we move to Cavus, let me just briefly respond that I don't in any sort of fashion intend to lend you with extra or even redundant work. So if your group and Cheryl's group has confirmed that none of the contingencies on the table are addressed by current accountability mechanisms, so be it. Then we can cut this short. But I guess we just have to be absolutely clear on where we can use or reuse what we have and where we enter uncharted territory. So I leave it there, and Cavus is next.
Yes, Thomas. I tend to agree with you that the approach that we have discussed at Frankfurt need to be followed. I also agree with the additional comment made by Steve. We can combine them together and make it as follows. Mechanism exists, is, and is sufficient. Mechanism exists, is not sufficient, should be improved or modified. No mechanism exists, and we have to have that one. Take it from that simple approach. It is more easy to follow rather than in the middle of the things going a improved way. So I would be very comfortable with that. Exist and sufficient. Exist is not sufficient, does not exist at all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cavus. I think there's not so much difference in what in the various ways I'm hearing. The main suggestion made by the group is to, instead of starting by answering the questions, it's starting by starting out running some of the stress tests and highlighting in passing what are the current accountability mechanisms in place, if any, and whether we should be addressing in terms of work party one or two this contingency. My suggestion would be that if we can have 2, 3, 4 examples that you start drafting a stress test, and Steve, thank you very much for taking us through one of them on AOC, I think it's number 14, or that you described, and that's, I think, what will enable us to fine-tune the deliverables we're expecting. And so my question to Cheryl and Steve and the group is, would you think it would be feasible to have a couple of very rough draft examples discussed at one of our meetings in Singapore?
I don't see that that's going to be an insurmountable problem. Certainly a couple. I doubt that we'd be in a position to have done a decent job of more than a couple, however, but it should be enough to give the general lie of the land and assist in the understanding of how we can capture the outcomes of our proposed work. Steve, do you agree with that?
Oh, yes. For me, it would be perfect. And Steve?
Yes. Yeah, this is Steve. Cheryl, let's go through it. We'll pick some that are relatively easy to prevent. We'll pick some that are able to mitigate, and then we'll pick a few that, wow, we don't really have an answer.
All right. So we'll put an agenda item on that matter, and that's really good for a session face-to-face in Singapore to show the community how we are addressing this. That is extremely valuable, I think, to our work and highlighting what we mean by stress tests and collecting feedback if necessary on that.
No problem.
Excellent. Really, a lot of thanks to Cheryl and Steve and the group for moving this forward since Frankfurt, and I think we're adjusting the way we are proceeding, but we're keeping the same goal, and that's what's taking us forward, then we should certainly keep the goal and be flexible around the way we are achieving that. I think that closes this item on advancement. Next item, I will turn to Leon for an update regarding the legal advice.
Thank you very much, Matthew. So with regards to legal advice, we've been working on the on the legal advice subgroup. We've had a revision of the document that was drafted by the CWG with regards to legal advice. And we've been exchanging a couple of emails in our mailing list. And we've also been in contact, Robin and I, doing some work with regards to scoping the questions that we should be asking to the legal experts. David McCauley also provided with some useful thoughts in the list. And we're still working on the questions that we should be asking the legal experts. But I would also like to remind the working party one and working party two participants that in their work they would be expected to provide the legal advice working group with some questions as well as to the stress tests and the empowerment of the community has to do. So we eagerly await for those questions as well. And we also had the chance to speak to the CWG co-chairs, and they told us that they would provide us with a short list of legal law firms that they're looking into in order to get this external advice, legal advice when time comes. We're still waiting for that reply, but as soon as we get that information, we will, of course, let you know. And I see Cabus has his raised. Please, Cabus, go ahead.
Yes, my suggestion would be that I raised it before, and they said that we don't have yet any legal advisor to deal with that matter, and that is the California law code that does not permit to do something. We would like that the legal advisor relevant to that issue to carefully study that and provide us the limitation or restrictions that even if we have some solutions to resolve the issue of accountability, the California law code does not allow to implement that, if there is any. I heard in some of the email exchange that difficulty, and that is someone mentioned that the code of 5210 and then 50034. And so on and so forth. So we have to see what are the restriction limitations in the California law codes that we need to consider to see whether we could have some solution for that. That is my suggestion, if possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cabus. We will surely look into your suggestions. Actually, the scoping document that we're going through with the CWG addresses many of the concerns that you just raised, and we will, of course, keep this in mind for our own work in this legal advice sub-team. And yes, of course, one of the main focus of our subgroup is to make questions or build questions around California nonprofit law with regards to what we're doing in the working group, but also we're looking into different fields in which California law may not be compatible with the outcome mechanisms that are going to be presented to the ICG. And, well, of course, these questions will be also addressed by the legal external advice. So I would also like to remind all the group that our specialist and law advisor on international law has been selected, and I would like to welcome Lee Andrew Bygrave, who is a professor at the Department of Private Law at the University of Oslo, as our new legal advisor for the working group, our new expert with regards to international law. So I believe that he will be joining us, of course, in the works of our working group, and we will be closely linked to his advice as we walk through the work we're doing in the legal sub team. Well, I don't know if anyone wants to add something to the legal advice track. I don't know if, Thomas, you have any comments on the legal track. I think I've covered so far all the work that's been done and the scope we would like to have in this sub-team.
No, you did well. Thanks, Leon.
Okay, anyone wants to comment or have any questions regarding this? One of the discussions that was really useful in the list was the one that was discussing the recommendation about the IRP, the independent review panel, that hasn't been yet put into action by the board. And, well, that is an example of a food for thought with regards to legal questions that we should address and, of course, raise to the legal advisors as how can we, of course, enforce this kind of non-action by the board. I think Bruce has also been kind of to provide us with an update on how this issue is actually being addressed by the board, but still there is some concern that this has been lingering for too long. So this is the kind of situations that we will be dealing with the legal questions. I see Caboose's hand is raised. Caboose, please.
Yes, a follow-up question, Leon. Is it possible that the legal advisor or legal advisors dealing with this California law code, once they made their study and analysis or review, whatever you call them, they provide some supporting material and some very brief presentation to let us know what are the areas that we need to be concerned or we need to be careful and so on. So at least they would do some work in between before we come up to any solution. They said what exists and what are the applications and what are the restrictions. Something. Would it be possible that you or whoever of the chair contact this legal advisor or advise to give analysis of the California law, provide the restrictions or limitations in a written form, and then a very brief presentation, if possible, in one of our future meetings, whatever meeting would be. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kabuz. We will definitely ask whomever advises us on these issues to hand a report addressing these concerns and, of course, answering these questions. So, yes, be assured that whenever we have that outcome, we will, of course, share it with the group so we can all be on the same page. So anyone else has any questions or comments with regards to the legal advice put in the agenda? No? Okay. Well, then I think it's safe to go to our sixth point in the agenda, which is any other business. And, well, there are a couple of things that we would like to remind the participants. I would like to bring first that you should kindly review the material for engagement session in Singapore. There has been a list uploaded to the wiki, and all the documents regarding our work and, of course, what's going to be reviewed in the engagement session has been uploaded to the wiki, as I said. And so I would kindly remind you to go through all that material, and please tell us if you see if anything is missing or you feel that we should include any other information or any other document into this list. Please reach out to Grace or any of us in order to for us to take care of it and have a complete list of documents and information with regards to the work we're doing. So, of course, feel free to join the engagement session. It will be very useful. There is also a hands-on session on Adobe Connect that Everhart will be hosting on Singapore. And while this is something that I feel it's very useful, especially for those who have been having issues connecting to the audio bridge, I think what Everhart will show or present in this session will be quite useful for those of you who have had some issues in the past. And I would like to, of course, open the floor for anyone else who has any other business to bring to the table. Does anyone else have any other business that would like to comment on this?
Okay. Cheryl here. You might want to just note Mark Carville's point in the chat.
I'm sorry, Cheryl?
Drawing your attention to Mark Carville's point about missing the beginning of the call in the chat. A little recap on those things would be useful, I think.
Okay, yes. I think that the part of the agenda was covered by Thomas. So, Thomas, would you like to comment on Mark Carville's question?
Well, actually, I think that Mathieu is waiting patiently, raising
okay.
his hand to respond to it.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't see his hand. So, Mathieu, please, could you address his question?
Thanks, Leon. And I think it's a good question to make sure we are clear on the expectations from our group and the Singapore meeting. And I think number one priority would be that we can share the advancement of our work, whether on contingencies and two streams of the two working parties on requirements, and ensure we get feedback from the community that is obviously supportive of that, or if not, that we can adjust our course of work. So my number one priority would be to Singapore, get the message across about what we're working on, collect feedback, assess, and adjust if needed. That would be the number one priority and expectation from Singapore. Number two would be to ensure that in the various tracks of the work regarding the transition, that everything is, the timelines are appropriately synchronized, and I think that's going to be one of the topics we'll have to work on in Singapore. And that includes synchronization with expectations from the ICANN board. And so that would be the two main topics and priorities and expectations from Singapore. And on top of that, if we could make substantive progress on our work while we are there during our two work sessions or during some of side work sessions for the working parties, I think that would be perfect. So that would be the way I would respond to your question, Mark, and obviously open to any comments. And I see
Thank you very much for this, Matthew. Thomas has a sensory. Please, Thomas.
Yeah, just to invite Mark to let us know if he has any additional expectations for the meeting. So please make yourself heard in case you have more suggestions for that. As Mathieu mentioned, we're going to present the progress made in the various sub-teams to the community. I think presenting that and further elaborating that will be an excellent progress, also making sure that we're aligned with the community's thinking and answer their questions would be great. I think that we can't go much further than that because the concrete implementation of what we might come up with will hugely depend on the legal advice that we're getting. So I think we should not rush to concrete implementations before having obtained legal advice.
Thank you very much, Thomas. I see Kabus hands is raised. Please, Kabus, go ahead.
Yes, just one point. I heard that we are talking of ICANN or board expectations. I think we should refer to the feasibility of doing the work. As I told you informally, ICG will come up with a new timeline plan. So it's nothing to do with the ICANN expectation. It is with the feasibility of doing the work. So that is very important. I don't think that we should be thinking of what the board expects from us, what is possible to do, in what time frame. So that is an important element, and we have to take that into account. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carlos. Your concern has been noted. And having no other business to raise at this point, I would turn back to Thomas for the closing remarks. Thomas, please.
Thank you very much, Leon, and I can keep this very brief. I think the take-home message for today is that we all need to be well prepared for our meetings in Singapore. Watch out for the invitations and look at the agenda to make sure that you can participate in person or remotely. The other point would be to ensure that you have read all the documents so that we can have a good substantive discussion. Third point would be that we should all try to make sure that we keep our respective groups, if any, informed about the progress so that there is full understanding of what we're doing in the whole community. And lastly, I think we should try to continue our good and substantive debate as we did over the last couple of days on the email list. So that's been most encouraging, and I think it's always a good sign to be able to keep calls short. And today I think we had a good mixture of making progress in terms of approach as well as in terms of substance. And we as co-chairs want to make you a little present, and that is 45 minutes of your valuable time. So we can stop early. Thank you very much, and see you remotely or in person in Singapore. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye,
everyone.